fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is the retiring Sonny Young. Thank you for tuning in to my final broadcast on the Voice of America. I have been honored to talk sports over the years behind these Voice of America microphones. Kind of a rainy day here in Washington, but it won't dampen my enthusiasm for our guests this evening. On my left here in Studio 22, Thea LaFon-Gatson, the world indoor champion in the women's triple jump. And on my right, Aaron Gatson, her coach and husband. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you so much for having us. It's so nice to be back.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Aaron, Thea first visited our VOA headquarters back in 2016, which I think is also when you first started working with her as a coach. How has Thea improved in the triple jump since you started working with her?
So I think when you first met her, or first talked to her, that was before we even had a coaching relationship at all. Since then, I mean, I think if you looked at her in the Olympics in 2016, and you looked at her at the World Championship that just passed, she looks like, you wouldn't think that was the same person, honestly.
Mm.
So she's made just tremendous improvements. I think, honestly, if you look at the statistics, she's improved more than anybody else in the last, 7 years. So it's really like incredible improvement, like transformative, like literally transformative.
Thea, how has Aaron helped you in the triple jump?
I think Aaron helped me realize, especially initially, that I really didn't know a lot about my own sport. He turned me into a scholar, a disciple of the event for sure. And he's also held me to these amazingly high standard that has never wavered, even though sometimes my confidence in myself has wavered. And so you put all those things together, including being my greatest support and greatest critic. I think he's really done a great job of pushing me to that next super elite level, which is where we are now.
I was texting with Thea, Aaron, and it sounds like you do some coaching outside of your wife, I guess is the way I'm putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you coach?
So just a quick context. Like originally, I kind of started in high school. I was doing some training myself, and I could use the facilities. And in exchange for the facilities, I was coaching high school kids. So when I first kind of met Thea, I was just only coaching high school, and then, you know, I got some better and better kids, and those kids went to on the college and things like that. And so right now I kind of have a group of, I would say 5 professionals.
Okay.
But I also have a handful of high school kids that I coach. I also coach some people remotely, and some people will come in for a weekend or a week here and there that I coach. But mainly it's on a daily basis, it's 5 professional people and a handful of high school kids that I still coach.
Now, the professionals, are they sprinters or field event people, or how would you describe them?
So all the people that I coach are horizontal jumpers, so that's long jump and triple jump.
Okay,
Yeah, I coach maybe a little bit of sprints here and there. So one of the women that I coach, she's also runs the 4x1 relay, the 100-meter relay. So,
well, Thea, over the years here at the Voice of America, I have seen romance blossom among colleagues. How did you meet Aaron?
So Aaron and I actually met initially when I was actually coaching 2016 at Northwest High School, and he was coaching at another school in the county. And we actually see each other, but it was more of in passing.
Okay.
After the Olympics, I was really looking to make a major change, coaching, training, et cetera. And I reached out to a man named Muhammad Halim, who was actually coaching with Aaron at the moment. But he also triple jumped professionally for U.S. Virgin Islands. And Muhammad wasn't really responding to my calls or texts. So I went on Instagram and I commented under every photo on his Instagram because I was desperate for change. And so he apologized, got back to me, and he showed up to our first meeting with Aaron and said that, I think that's who you need really for improvement-wise. We started training the next day.
Wow.
And a few months in, I was like, oh, man, I kind of like this guy. and I'm happy he liked me, too. And the rest has been history. And I think I've been very lucky and fortunate that the dynamic really works, and I'm grateful for that.
So do you credit social media to an extent with hooking up with Aaron?
I guess I could. But I will say the greatest, I guess, praise goes to Muhammad, his best friend.
Okay. I'm seeing my producer this evening, Mukbil Yabaro, smiling through the glass. And Mukbil has told me that he always begins his day IMing, Instagramming, taking a look at what's trending. But let's talk Glasgow, Aaron. I guess you saw some great jumps from Thea in Scotland early in March. What did she do right there in Glasgow?
I mean, I think she did a lot of things right. I mean, if you look in history, you know, that jump was number 9 all time.
Mm.
And, you know, a couple of those people ahead of her were definitely on drugs. You know, she's probably closer to top 5 all time. But as far as kind of what she did right, I think what's kind of maybe changed in the last few years that's been different, that's not just like the physical part, is I think mentally, you know, she even told me this, that she kind of went into it like very calm. And I think from a mental perspective, she felt, I guess, very prepared. She felt like she totally belonged. And she was able to kind of just compete without any anxiety or any worry. And I think what that allowed her to do is just execute extremely well. And so, like, there have been some meets in the past where maybe she had some performances that would have been similar, but because she didn't quite execute it well, it was either a foul or she wasn't on the board or something like that. And so this one, it only took her 2 jumps. After the first jump, she's like, "Hey, I know what to do." She kind of told me what she was going to do, and she did it. And you know, the rest is history. So I really think that was the biggest piece. You know,
you want to comment on that, Thea, in terms of, I guess, maybe the mental approach you took to Glasgow.
Yeah, I think that this entire season, you know, we only did 2 meets before Worlds, indoor Worlds, and I wanted to practice that mentality. I came into every competition very calm. I realized that, you know, all the maybe too much excitement always turned into kind of a level of anxiety or anxiousness, and I didn't want it. In my head, I thought I've done, you know, 6 previous years of anxiousness or like nerves or this kind of adrenaline hype. And I just wanted to do something different, something that felt in control. And a major thank you to Aaron who trusted me. You know, it's one thing to try to change your mentality, but to have a coach when you come to them, be like, "Hey, this is what I'm going to do. And I think it's going to work out." And he did not waver for a moment during competition. He said, "Okay, let's move you back. Do the adjustment you're going to say and go for it." And I said, "Okay." And that was it. But yeah, it definitely took trial and error. I've gone through a lot, ups and downs, you know, to get to a point where I am confident in making those changes. And, you know, our dynamic has gotten stronger in that I can say something and he knows that I am telling the truth and then he trusts my judgment.
I'm Sonny Young and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. This is my final broadcast on VOA. And as I mentioned earlier, Thea visited here in 2016, and I remember we went up, I think we're on a different floor, actually. This is a huge building, takes up an entire city block, but we were in sort of a, I guess it was a meeting room, conference room, and Thea went up to a map, and you pointed out Dominica. So maybe for our listeners that aren't familiar with Dominica, Thea, explain where the country is.
Dominica is a small nation, population of 72,000 people, in the Lesser Antilles and the Eastern Caribbean. So the best way I can say, the easiest way to locate it is find South America, find Brazil or the Guyanas, and just come off that coast to the east. You'll see Trinidad and Tobago, you'll see Barbados, and you'll see three small islands. It'll be Martinique, Dominica, and Guadeloupe.
Okay.
And Dominica is that one in the middle. So we are very, very small, but we are very mighty. So that's where we are.
Aaron, based on what happened, Thea's great performance in Scotland, what was the reaction in Dominica after she won the gold medal?
As far as I could see, there was a tremendous outpour of support. I mean, you know, I had to literally kind of turn my phone off for a day because it was just constant. And so I think everybody is really proud. I mean, if you think of kind of the history of Dominica as far as like sporting wise, you know, that's the first time they've got a gold medal, maybe in anything at that level. And so there's a ton of pride there. I think, honestly, the way I think about it is like, you know, this it puts Dominica on the map, like literally. Where so people are like, Dominica, where's people Google it, they look it up and like, wow, that's Dominica. Oh, it's not the Dominican Republic. Okay, that's a different place. Like, wow, I know where it is. And so there's a ton of pride from Dominicans. There's a ton of pride from, you know, the government. It's almost like the best advertisement you could have for the country. And I think, you know, Thea is a great embodiment of the country. There's beautiful people that are very, very kind, people that are very prideful. And so, you know, I think it's been awesome so far.
And Aaron and Thea, you're great advertisements for Dominica right here in the studio. So the colors of Dominica are green, red, and yellow. Is that correct, or I miss one?
We have a few more. It is green. it's green, red, yellow, black, white. And there's people always miss. There's one more. Dominica is one of, I believe, two or three flags in the world that actually have the color purple in it. And it's the center bird.
Purple.
And it's our national bird. It's called the Cicero parrot. And so, yeah, we've got a bunch to choose from.
I love birds. I'm a bird watcher, but I'm not familiar with that
yeah,
parrot.
It is a bird that's originally native to Dominica and the islands around it. We're really, really proud of it. It's honestly become like one of just the greatest symbols. It's on our crests and everything. It is something that we associate with the beauty of the land, of the Nature Isle. That's also what Dominica is called.
Aaron, last time I chatted with your lovely wife, she talked about endorsements. And if I remember correctly, I think Thea was hoping maybe Adidas would back her, support her. Can you give us an update on Thea's sponsors these days?
So, yeah, I think then there definitely was no sponsors. She's been sponsored by Adidas for, I want to say, maybe this is the third or fourth year. And so that took a while for her. You know, she had to kind of break in to be, you know, top 10 in the world and things like that. And, you know, I think that now that she's kind of, you know, the world champion, and then she's, you know, at a minimum top five in the world, you know, arguably top two in the world, you know, from an endorsement standpoint, I mean, her contract's going to be up at the end of the year. So, you know, maybe there'll be a nice little bump next year, but there's certainly some good bonuses involved. And certainly there's been a lot of people asking her to attend this and attend that, and a lot of appearance fees and things like that. So it's certainly been very good for us in that regard.
Care to comment?
Yeah, I mean, ditto. But also, you know, if you talk about like financial support is the biggest support you could possibly get, right? I will give a major shout out to my Olympic committee, Dominica Olympic Committee, who realized that, you know, my last Olympics was 2020. I was still technically a teacher at the point, and they realized that if I wanted to really succeed, I had to be able to focus on my sport, and they actually upped my funding. So I have the funding from Dominica, which is huge. And I also have the Adidas contract too. And so being able to just let track and field be my job, like my only job, has really allowed me to just focus on it. And hey, it works, you know, no complaints there.
Well, Aaron and Thea, we'll talk about the Paris Olympics coming up, but first I do want to read one message in particular. I have been getting emails and Facebook messages as I prepare to put the microphone away. It's kind of sad, but I'm going to read a comment from one of my friends, Shagun Dot on the Spot at Adeyemi. Shagun is the former host of our Nightline Africa sports segment, which was a weekend segment when Shagun hosted it. And Shagun sent me a really nice Facebook message from Nigeria. Dear Sonny, as you prepare to sign off from the VOA, I want to formally bid you farewell and to let you know that it's been a privilege of a lifetime knowing and working with you, just like Barry Mon before you. I am sure Nigeria and indeed Africa will never forget you. As Shagun says, for your hot servings of African and global sports news all through the years. And Shagun goes on to write, I recall very vividly our coverage of the All Africa Games in Abuja, Nigeria in October 2003, having you, Sonny Young, the reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Moeta, and yours truly, Segun Dot, on the spot, Adeyemi, in the same space during the two-week championship was one of the biggest spots in our work relationship. We actually roomed together in Abuja, Segun, Nnamdi, and yours truly. And Segun closes by saying, it's almost unimaginable that one would tune into VOA and won't hear Sonny Young having great fun with the Sunny Side of Sports. But truly, everything that has a beginning must have an end. Best wishes in your future endeavors, and thank you once again for being such a great professional and a good man. Bye for now. Bye, Segun, and thank you for those wonderful words. Segun mentioned Nnamdi Moeta, the reigning prince of pugilistics, and I think Thea might have a special message for Nnamdi.
Sporty greetings, Nnamdi. This is Thea Lafal-Gadsden, the world indoor champion in the women's triple jump, wishing you a very happy birthday and hoping you continue to cover new ground. And shout outs to your family in Asaba, Jos, and Lagos. Happy birthday, Nnamdi.
Happy birthday, Nnamdi. And you know, in terms of covering new ground, Aaron, do you think Thea can cover new ground at the Paris Olympics in terms of distance?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think something that, you know, if you follow the sport really closely, you know, Thea only took two jumps at the World Championships, and that's, you get six jumps. And so for her only to have to take two is, I don't know if I can think of anybody that's only taken two jumps and just was like, hey, that's enough and I'm done. And so I think that shows that, you know, she's more than ready to do something more. I think she could have done more. I just didn't think it was necessary for her to do that and kind of save some for the Olympics. Also, I think, you know, also when you get outdoors, you're probably in a little bit better shape because you've been training for a little bit longer. You also got nice weather. You get a little bit of wind. And so I definitely think there's more in the tank. I also don't think the jump that she did at Glasgow, you know, from being really critical, it wasn't like the perfect jump. It's a great jump. There's a lot of great things, but there's certainly room to improve there. And so I definitely expect that she's going to jump farther outdoors. And I know that she can. I know she wants more as well.
So what do you think, Thea? More gas in the tank in Paris?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we talked about goals for this year, this entire year, one of the first things on the list was to jump 15 meters indoor. Mm. And there are other things on that list, and only one box has been checked. So mentally, I'm not done. And my end goal is to bring home a medal for my home country, an Olympic one. And so, you know, it's great that, you know, that first box was checked at the best place possible with the best outcome possible. But we know that I have more. And the plan is to show that there's more.
The Olympics in Paris, the big sporting event of the year. What's your background in Paris? I mean, I know there's a Diamond League meet there. I mean, have you done well in Paris in the past?
I've actually only been in Paris to compete, I believe, only once. And it was an indoor meet a couple years ago. So I actually don't have a lot of experience in Paris, France at all. But, you know, it's okay. That leaves space for new opportunities. And I look forward to leaving my mark in that city.
Aaron, traveling with Thea around the world, what is that like? I mean, in terms of the trips, when you go to a certain city or for like a Diamond League meet, for instance, is it kind of like rushing in, rushing out, or do you get a chance to see the city or the venue at all, or is it just pretty much focusing on the athletics competition?
Yeah, I would say generally speaking, it's pretty much focusing on the athletic competition. For a Diamond League meet, which is a pretty big one, and if you're kind of, say, traveling from, like, United States over to Europe or something like that, it definitely is going to be something you want to come in maybe at least 2 days early, maybe 3 days early, just to get acclimated because there's a huge time zone difference and things like that. But usually once we get there, it's kind of all about making sure we get a proper rest and making sure we're eating right and sleeping and all that stuff. And so it if we don't, we're not going to spend a day, you know, walking around and looking at the sites, because that's going to, you know, maybe reduce some of the energy and all that stuff. But sometimes if there's a day afterwards where we have some time, we might do something a little touristy just to get a feel for the city. But usually it's mainly a business trip.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, this is my final broadcast on the Voice of America. I want to give a couple shout outs, personal shout outs from my two sons, my oldest boy, Jesse, who's listening, I hope, tonight in Medellin, Colombia, of all places. Jesse is he's fluent in Spanish. And my younger boy, Alex, 27, when I told him I was interviewing you, Thea, today, he actually he didn't know much about the women's triple jump. And he had a question for me, for you. He goes, Dad, ask Thea about her run-up. Before she jumps, she goes, how long of a run up does she do in terms of strides? And I thought, wow, he's fairly technical.
Okay.
So talk about your run up when you do your jumps.
Well, I don't think anyone's actually asked me that before. So shout out to your son for giving me a question. And I want to say this is like 9 or 10 interviews in the last couple of weeks, and no one's ever asked me anything about my run up. So here we go. Aaron can correct me if I'm wrong. I take 16 steps. That's what I did in Glasgow. How many steps did I take in Glasgow?
Took 18.
I took 18 steps in Glasgow. Before. That's right. It was our first time doing a longer approach. It was my first time doing that approach that season, and it was at Worlds. And I believe I ended it at around 132 feet.
Okay.
That's all where right. I start. So that's my approach. I push out for about the first 10. I transition up for two more, and then I'm upright through the board. Yeah, very odd discussing this. I've just never, ever had someone ask me that before.
Well,
I'm impressed.
I have another technical question for Aaron. The longer the run-up in terms of feet, or is it true that can work against a triple jumper, that they could tire when it comes time for the actual jumping part of the discipline?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. I think, you know, the longer their approach, sure, there could be more fatigue. There also is you're going to add potentially more error to getting onto the board. So you have to get as close to the board without going over it, and that's a major, you know, part of the event. But as far as like tiring, I think it's supposed to be a rhythmic approach. It's not like an all out mad dash from the beginning.
Okay.
So as she was kind of stating before, you know, you're gonna push out. You're gonna be patient and powerful, and you push, and then you're maybe only really kind of working max velocity for the last, you know, 4 to 6 steps, and so that. You shouldn't, if you're well-trained, you shouldn't, you know, tire out. But if, you know, if you're in high school and you're doing 18, that's probably too far and probably
okay.
are tiring out. Yeah.
Speaking of high school, let's talk about your early days, Thea LaFon Gadsden. You were a ballerina back in the early days. Is that true?
Yeah, man. My mom just realized that I kind of loved it. We had a couple dance classes when we first came to America in my school, and she just kept up with the passion. So it was ballet, tap, and jazz, and I absolutely adored it. But at some point, maybe some parents know, classical training is expensive.
Mm.
And between my growth in that art, my brother was born, which means you're paying for, you know, classical dance classes, and you also have a baby with formula and diapers and life. And so, yeah, when I came to high school, my mom found out there were activities for free. She politely told me it's time to make a shift.
Okay. I was, you know, when I and Thea has mentioned her dance background in the past, Aaron, but I was thinking in terms of the triple jump and being a ballerina that both kind of involve controlling your body in space and not on the ground, but you know, in the air. Any comments on that regard?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a correlation. From my experience, I've seen the best kind of jumpers are either come from gymnastics background or like a ballet or dance background. And I think there's two reasons for that. One, I think, is because, as you pointed out, the body awareness piece, like they're very kind of in tune, you know, their kinesthetic awareness is very good. So they know where their body is. They're in, and their teachers or their coaches are very specific about, hey, your body needs to be here, not here. And we're talking about an inch difference. you know, things like that. And you know, going along with that as well is that their coaches are very, very specific and they're very, you know, critical, maybe not necessarily like mean, but very critical. And hey, this is how it needs to be done. And I think that for me, triple jump is a skill. And if because it's a skill, you have to practice it and there's a way to do it that needs to be done. And, you know, you have to be able to kind of handle the criticism and make the corrections and do that over and over and over and over and over again. And that's what gymnastics coaches do. That's what ballet, you know, coaches do. They're very, very specific and they're going to keep you doing it until it's right.
Aaron, Theo, just from an audio perspective, I got to tell you, if either one of you would like to maybe pursue a broadcasting career after athletics, you both have wonderful voices, very, very resonant and on air. And you have just a delightful voice, Thea.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But I want to finish here, kind of multi-sports background talk. You know, when I look back on my career, I've had people ask me how I got to be a sportscaster or how I ended up doing what I'm doing, basically. And I look at it as a convergence of love of sports and love of radio. When I grew up, I think you're in kind of the same, Thea. I played multiple sports growing up and did a rough list, very unofficial, but played baseball, basketball, football, soccer, tetherball, volleyball, dodgeball, racquetball, tennis, table tennis. I ran cross country in high school. I went longer distances at VOA. I did 3 marathons. And so I've played a few sports, not all organized, but I guess what I'm saying, I also grew up loving radio. I mean, when I was growing up, there were no podcasts and there was no FM for that matter. There was no FM. It was all AM. And so I listened to local radio and local music shows on AM radio. And so there wasn't the variety that we have today, but I loved radio from an early age. I used to call into these local radio stations for their trivia contests. And so in some ways, when I got to VOA, I did want to get behind the microphone. That was part of it. But as I said, Thea and Aaron, I think one of the biggest joys for me has been getting the chance to meet world-class athletes like Thea, but also ordinary athletes, you know? And at one time, Thea, I guess you could say you were an ordinary athlete. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I think that you have to start somewhere. And I think that's the cool thing about sports is that it meets you where you are. And I think it's a great unifying front. I mean, clearly I'm a little biased. Maybe we're all a little biased in this room. But I agree. You know, no one just starts off as phenomenal, great,
right,
number one in
right
the world. But it's so much fun in the journey of it all.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that it's part of our lives. Yeah.
Well, Aaron, any final comments as we get ready to wrap this show up on your first visit to the Voice of America?
Yeah. I just want to kind of piggyback off what Thea said. I think that, like, the great things about sports is that everyone kind of has a different journey. And I think sometimes people see the result, they see the champion, and they're like, wow, they're so talented that they just have this and that. And I think, you know, Thea shows a different side of it. Like, yeah, she is very talented and she is a champion, but she wasn't a champion 7 years ago. And there's been a tremendous journey and a tremendous amount of improvement. And I think that should be kind of a lesson for everybody that, hey, if you really kind of work on something, you work smart, you know, you work hard, you have the right people around you, you can make tremendous improvements. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to become a champion, but you can always get better. You can improve yourself. And it's not just about, you know, how you were born or your genetics or whatever. It's about that journey. It's about progression. It's about, you know, being the best that you can be.
Thank you, Aaron Gadsden. And thanks also to your wife, the world indoor champion in the women's triple jump, Thea LaFawn-Gadsen. Thank you. Thank you, Thea. And Aaron, thank you both for being here in the studio.
Thank you so much, Sonny, and happy retirement.
Thank you, Thea.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.